This week on Journey Through the Word at Horizon Indy, Bill Goodrich takes us through Ephesians 4:17 through 24 in a message entitled, Walk Worthy of Your Calling as Believers.
Please turn in your Bible now to Ephesians chapter 4, where we will be diving into verses 17 through 24. As you see on the screen there, if you need a Bible, just raise your hand, but as you see on the screen there, I've entitled this message, Walk Worthy of Your Calling as Believers, Not Like the Gentiles Do. We've been in the midst of a study here that Ephesians is an amazing book, is it not? It's just a wonderful, wonderful book. And we started with chapter 4, verse 1, looking at the walk of the Christian believer. What does it look like to be a Christian? And so what Paul does also, as we're looking through this area, he shows us what it is not to look like so we can, in turn, realize what it is to look like. Sometimes we have to look at the problem so we can enjoy and embrace the solution that is found for us in Scripture. And that's what Paul's doing. He does that in the book of Romans, and he's doing it here too. Up to this point in verses 1 through 6, we looked at walk worthy of your calling in unity. That was very important that we looked at that. So we have a calling upon our lives, each and every one of us, and we are to walk together in unity, not allowing any division to be there in our lives. And that, I believe, also encompasses those that may not be believers. We, because we are believers, have to go the extra mile to reach out to the unbeliever and show him Christ-likeness, the way that he walks and he teaches us. Then in verses 7 through 16, we're encouraged to walk worthy of your calling by using your gifts. That was last week, the gifts that we have, and we are to walk in those. So again, today, as you look on the screen, we'll put today's title up for this message is simply walk worthy of your calling as believers, not like the Gentiles do. And so the challenge. So this chapter is broken down into two areas that we see. The first area is verses 17 through 19. We're going to read this, where you see the believer is not to walk after the Gentiles. That means we're not to follow after ungodly men, ungodly women. Very simple that we do that. And the second part we'll look at it, the believer is to walk after Christ. Make sense? Simple, simple area that we see. Look in verse 17. Let's read through together. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. There's the challenge for us. Then what he does is he shows five traits of how the Gentiles walk. There are so many more, but for some reason, the Holy Spirit gives him these five. Number one, in futility of their mind. Number two, having their understanding darkened. Number three, being alienated from the life of God. Now, after he says number three, being alienated from the life of God, he gives us three reasons why they're alienated from the life of God. Number one, because of the ignorance that is in them. And number two, because of the blindness of their hearts. Then he goes back to the traits of the unbeliever in verse 19, who, and here's the fourth trait, being past feeling. Notice that. Past feeling. That is a strong statement about an individual. Having given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Then he switches over, and we kind of take a breath. Whenever you see but in the scripture like this, but now you'll see it, but you, you know, get excited for what follows that. Because he says, but you, put your name in there, have not so learned Christ. We have not learned to follow after these traits. And we are no longer, if we have given our heart to Jesus Christ, the people that these traits describe. That is no longer us. It truly is no longer us. And we must understand that. I'll quote this verse a number of times, but therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have, behold, all things are new. And so when we dive into that, we realize who we are because we belong to Jesus Christ. And that is an amazing thing. But again, we must understand the problem so we can truly embrace the solution. And that's all that Paul is doing here. But you, he switches here, but you have not so learned Christ. Look at verse 21, excuse me. If indeed, there's a question, or there's a challenge there. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. That is a big statement, if. Now, you guys have answered that if because you are here today. And so that's a wonderful thing. So it's no longer if you, indeed you have heard him. You have heard him. But there is a challenge for us each and every day that we walk our lives here with the Lord. Have we heard him? Are we listening to what he has said? We've heard him for salvation. But also after salvation, there's a walk of victory. There's many things that he wants us to hear. So Paul realizes that. And he's going to tell us something here in a moment. Put off the old man. Put on the new man. How do we do that? It's according to the truth that we find in Scripture, empowered by the Holy Spirit. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. We want to find Jesus, amen? Someday we will see him face to face. I believe that God can heal Eva because he can. He does. I'm not so presumptuous to know what God's will is, but I know that he can heal. And so he has done so much for you and I that it's right there and all we have to do is step into it. That's what Paul's saying. Then he goes on in verse 22 and he says that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man. You mean, Lord, after I accept Jesus, there's still an old man? Well, there is, according to Romans chapter 7. And so we are to put him off, but there's a reality that at the cross, God dealt with that old man. And so putting off means that we enter into that truth and we recognize that truth is completed in Christ Jesus. And then we walk in that truth. That's why we read the scriptures. That's why we read the book of Romans. That's why we read the book of Ephesians and Galatians and Colossians chapter 3 that we'll close with. We see these truths that are there for you and I. And so, again, but you have not so learned Christ, verse 20, in verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And notice verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You mean, Lord, I can be renewed? Yes. When am I renewed? I believe the moment that you accept Jesus Christ. I believe that we can be renewed and refreshed and restored and revived as we continue to walk with the Lord also. But there's a work that's accomplished in Christ for us the moment that we accept Jesus Christ. And Paul's doing that. Speaking of that, in verse 24, he says, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in truth, true righteousness and holiness. Wow. When we look at these verses, it's an amazing reality. Has anybody ever heard of a man named Hadley Page? Hadley Page was an early aviator, and he explored the earth by flying in a single-person plane, and he would fly to the remotest parts of the world at times. And so he was doing that when one time he was flying a certain leg, and as he's flying there, he heard a gnawing behind him. And he had landed at a remote place, and he heard this gnawing that continued to go on and on and on. So he began to become a little concerned that possibly when he had landed to get fuel in this other place, that a rat had come on the plane. And the gnawing was a rat that was gnawing away at the control cables of the plane. So here he is flying, remote area, and then he begins to be concerned about what's going on. So the question would be, at that moment, what could he do? You know, he couldn't let go of the plane. They didn't have, I don't believe, that at that point, automatic pilot in that sense. So what does he do at that point? Might have had automatic pilot, I don't know. But could he go back and find out what was going on? Don't know all the details. So then in his mind, it came to him that he had been told that rats kind of die quickly at high altitudes. So what he did is he pulled back on the stick. He climbs higher and higher and higher and higher, and he gets to the point that he's ready to pass out in this plane. That wouldn't be a good thing, would it? So then at that point, he begins to consider, okay, and he quiets down and he listens, and the gnawing stopped. So his assumption is that that rat died, which indeed it had, because when he would land, he would see that the rat had died. You know, there's a lesson for us in the midst of that. Oftentimes, we, as God's children, are plagued by the sin that gnaws at our life simply because we are living at too low of a spiritual altitude, a level. We have to pull back on that yoke, the Word of God, and dive into the reality that's there and fly at a higher level instead of being down at a lower level where all these things are that can gnaw away at our lives. I think it's a beautiful, beautiful. The higher level is exactly what we see in this section of Scripture. Here we see Paul pointing us to a new man that we are because we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. How many here today, by show of hands, have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? We are flying at a higher level than we were before we accepted. Does that seem right? We're flying higher. And God is just saying at times we have to pull back on that stick and even fly at a higher level because he wants to reveal to us truth that will change our lives. But you know what? It's not easy, is it? It's not easy. These passages illustrate the spiritual warfare that takes place in our lives day in and day out so that we can walk as new men in Jesus Christ, as new women in Jesus Christ. And so Paul's just going to look at simply two principles here. Again, going back to verse 17, notice this I say, and then we'll start the new principle in verse 20. But the first one is kind of down the low altitude that we need to look at. Paul says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you, he's saying, you and I put our names there, should no longer walk. If we see no, we should no longer walk, that tells us that there's a capacity for us no longer to walk. There's a reality that is ours if we find it and get into Scripture and we find out the ability, the power, the anointing, the purpose of God in our lives to fly at that higher altitude. But it's up to you and I. We can go along like this or we can pull back on that yoke. We want to pull back on that yoke as much as we can. So he says that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. That's our challenge. We're not to walk as an unbeliever walks. We, at least I, was an unbeliever at one time. You know, some people accept the Lord. My daughter accepted the Lord. What was it, at 3 years old, honey? 3 years old. Our five-year-old son, Jeremy, led her in a prayer in the garage. Now, you want to be saved, Kirsty? She said, yes. And Brett just said, okay, then pray after me. And to this day, Kirsten remembers praying with Brett or Jeremy there in the garage and giving her heart to Jesus Christ. But still, even at that young age, there was an old man in her life. And now she's learned to walk as a new man, a new woman in Jesus Christ at a higher level. That you should no longer, the challenge to walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. And then here's the first one, in the futility of your mind. That you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. The important thing to note here is that the believer is never to return to the paths of his or her former level, life. God gives us an option. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3, you'll see it on the screen here. Notice what Peter says about this. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, When we walked in lewdness and lust and drunkenness and revelries, drinking parties and abominable idolaters. Now, maybe you didn't do these that are being specifically brought out, but you walked in your flesh before you knew Jesus Christ. Here we see that we as believers are to be different from the people of the world. Why? Because believers are new creations in Christ Jesus. We'll put on the screen here that verse that I quoted. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new what? Creation. Behold, old things have passed away. Behold, all things are what? New. And then we see these five traits. Futility of their mind. What does that mean? Because we want to know, because we don't want to walk in it. What does it mean today for you and I? It means futility speaks of an emptiness. It speaks of a vainness, that we would go after the things of the world. It actually could be translated senseless, aimless. We don't want to go there. Unsuccessful. We don't want to be that. We're not to walk and notice in the futility of the mind. The mind includes the ability to will and do the truth. To will and do the truth, as well as know the truth. It includes morality as well as reasoning and understanding. The mind is a very powerful thing, is it not? And so we have to bring that under the captivity of Christ, bringing every thought into the obedience of Christ. It's a wonderful thing that we can do. This scripture here tells us that unbelievers live in a sphere of the emptiness of their minds, which denotes an ignorance of divine things, a lack of knowledge that involves moral blindness. The believer is not to allow himself or herself to live there. We have no permission to do that. We are not to do that. How do we not do that? Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the desires of what? The flesh. So I don't go about trying to worry all the time. Oh, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. And of course, I don't want to do those things. But if I find that I find a more powerful way to walk, I just want to walk in the Spirit, Lord. And you will show me what are the works of the flesh. I ask that you would do that. And so the futility of the mind. Psalm 10, verse 4, it says, the wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in what? None of his thoughts. That's a strong statement by David there. He goes on here and notice it says, and having their understanding darkened. What does that mean? Understanding is the ability to grasp. It's the ability to comprehend. It's the ability to perceive. And we see that that becomes darkened. It was there. It was given and it was granted by God. But all of a sudden now, there's this darkening process. It means to be blinded and unable to see. Human beings come to the point that they're given, I believe, by God, according to Scripture. I believe, according to Romans chapter 2, that believers are given a conscience. It says that the word is written in their hearts. Is it possible that God has given that work to every human being? I personally believe so, because it says in Titus 2:11 that it's God's will and purpose that all be saved. And so God is the one that initiates and he begins to speak to people. But people can have their understanding darkened. The believer does not grasp or understand God. He chooses to not understand, not to grasp. He turns away. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it says, but the natural man does not receive, the unbeliever does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. It takes a divine work of God in the human being's life to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's a miracle when that happens. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's just an amazing thing. If I had time, I'd ask Scott to come up here and what he just experienced this last week. An amazing reality. Bringing him up. Come on, Scott, share. Because Tim said, bring him up. Go ahead.
Well, the short story is today Christian schools are under attack in America. But we stand firm on the Word of God. We teach God boldly. Had a young man, had a chance to share the gospel with, and he was in trouble. I won't share the whole story, you can catch me later. But I walked him through the Romans road, took him right to the Word of God. Get to Romans 9, Romans 10:9, it says, if you confess and believe, you'll be saved. And he looks at me and he goes, I want that. I said, absolutely. Pray. He goes back to class. Meanwhile, I'm up dealing with something else going up on stairs at elementary. I come down. My admin assistant is freaking out, excited. I'm like, what is going on? She's like, Mr. Elman, this boy went back to class, raised his hand. Mr. Hines, I got to tell you what just happened. The most amazing thing just happened to me. He shares it. She says, four more kids want to see you right now. Four kids come down. Three of them go through Romans Road, come to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. One has a problem. He says, Mr. Elman, my dad passed away last year. How could a loving God let that happen? We talk, we pray, bring his grandpa in the next day. He comes to the Lord. He wants to, yes, amen. He wants to get baptized. We're working on that with his family. Right after that, another kid comes to me from the same class, same grade. Mr. Elman, can I meet with you? I'm like, okay, Lord, absolutely. What you got? I meet with him. I want to know what's going on. I want to hear about this. Romans Road, that boy is now a believer in Jesus Christ as well. So, amen. So keep it in prayer. God is doing something here. Amazing, amazing things. So I'm just going to stand back and watch. So.
Okay, how do I follow up with after that? You know, beautiful. Then I was talking to one of the teachers, and she was telling me that she had led a young man to the Lord last week. That's exciting. That's a change that takes place. Unbelievers, though, continue to allow their heart to be darkened. This young boy, the light of Jesus shined into his heart. There we see in verse 18, notice it goes on, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. That's powerful. This means to be separated. To be alienated means to be separated, cut off or detached. There's strong language being used here. From what? From the life of God. Believers are spiritually dead and doomed to eternal death. Does that affect our hearts? Does it affect my heart? Am I as concerned as I need to be about the unsaved people in our midst? We have to ask ourselves. Unbelievers are spiritually dead and doomed to eternal life. Why is that true? Again, in verse 18, he gives us two reasons. The first one, because of the ignorance that is in them. In other words, they choose to be ignorant within their minds. There's a choice that they make. This choice to be, they choose to be ignorant of the things of God. And the second thing we see here is because of the blindness of their heart. They choose to harden their own hearts as Pharaoh did. As Pharaoh did. And because Pharaoh hardened his heart, God will say, okay, that's what you want. I'm going to let you have that. That's what scares me about Romans chapter 1. You see in verse 24, that God allows them to have what they wanted, and he turns them over to unclean things. Then they continue in those unclean things, and then God comes to that point in verse 26, and now he says, I'm going to turn you over to vile passions. Vile passions. And then in verse 28, after they continue in vile passions, and he names specific things there in the scriptures, but in verse 28, he says, now I'm going to turn you over, release you to a reprobated heart. That can be a heart that will never, a person will never, ever accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Today, if you are here and you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, be careful, because we're going to see here in a moment that there can be a callous building in your heart, building over your mind. You come and you hear the gospel. It's presented to you, but you don't respond. A callousness can be developed in your heart. Unbelievers are responsible for their own eternal death. God has provided the way for man to live forever through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said this in John chapter 3, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that the light, that means Jesus, has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Strong statement Paul's saying here. Very quickly, the fourth trait that we see, unbelievers are past feeling. That means what I said, they become callous. You know, we work in our hands. My hands are pretty soft. But anyway, if some of you guys, I shake their hand and I go, well, that's a calloused hand. You know, that person works in a certain way pretty hard and all that. Our heart can become calloused with unbelief, lack of faith. That's what Paul's saying, past feeling, insensible, hardened. The unbeliever can reach a point when they have no longer feelings for God and the standard of morality. That's a dangerous place to be. In Acts 28, verse 27, it says, for the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. The words of God. And the fifth trait, we'll turn over into the other side here before we run out of time. The fifth trait, right there in verse 19, you see it there where it says, believers are given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Lewdness, ungodly sensuality, greediness, covetousness, craving. Believers, today we are challenged not to walk in such a way. We're not to yield to those challenges, those temptations. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7, it says, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but to what? Holiness. Holiness. I love to share that when I'm doing premarital counseling, when they first come in. Married couple, sweet as they can be, but there's going to be temptation. God has not called us to uncleanness. Keep yourselves pure. Be careful, stay separated. A lot of times I'll see young couples here and I know they like each other. They even got engaged and they'll be sitting there in the fellowship hall and I'll walk up and I'll go like this, leave room for the Holy Spirit. In other words, move them, separate them from themselves, you know. It's good counsel, it really is. Leave room for the Holy Spirit and you'll be safe in that way. But then the second principle, bear with me here, and we can't develop it, but we will as we continue in Ephesians further. Notice, but you have not so learned Christ. I have three stars in my Bible after that. If there's that choice, indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him. See, you're fulfilling that if in a good way because you're here today. We're studying the Word of God. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. And then he goes into this wonderful reality that we see, an action step. We are to put off, notice that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. There's a decision that we make every single day, I believe, in Scripture. The reality happens the moment that we accept Jesus Christ, because we're a new creation. But each and every day, we have a choice because we are given free wills. I am not a robot. Anybody here a robot? He didn't make us as a robot that he would pull a string and we would go, I love you, God. I love you, God. He didn't do that. He gave us the most powerful thing that God could give us because he loved us so much. He gave us the ability to choose him or reject him. And that will tell us where we're going to live eternity. Is that not powerful? That is powerful. That's because he loved us so much that he didn't want to create robots. He could have done that. He could have done that, but he did opposite of that. He gave us freedom of choice. The believer is to walk a true walk in Christ Jesus. And it involves three things. Putting off. This is what a man was before he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. It is the very nature of man, the natural corruptible seed, which is passed on from generation to generation and leads to death. And we are to put that off. The believer's old man, according to Scripture, though, has already been put to death. When a man believes and receives Jesus Christ, God begins to immediately count him buried with Christ and united with Jesus in the very likeness of his death. Look here on the screen, Romans chapter 6, verse 6 says, knowing this, that our old man was, notice the tense, crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. That is a powerful verse. Again, the old man has already been put to death. When? The moment we accepted Jesus. Because Jesus there on the cross died a death for every human being, that he was victorious. It is finished. The debt is paid. Tetelestai. It is taken care of for all of mankind. Now it's up to mankind to enter into that reality and make a choice, to make that choice, to follow after God in that way. The old man has been put to death. The second thing we see, the old man is put off from the believer. The power of evil deeds has been broken, and the believer is no longer in bondage to them to follow after them. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. But now you yourselves are to put off all of these. And we see that Paul mentions some of those things. In Romans chapter 6, verse 11, Paul encourages, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's decisions that we have. Amen? That's the first action that he gives us right there. Put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Your old man, it's like he gets resurrected. You know, it's like he's dead. How can that be? But yet he gets resurrected. Because death in the Bible does not mean cessation. It doesn't mean annihilation. It means separation. And so when we see death in Scripture, it means separation. People die physical deaths, but do they not live eternity into eternity? Believers and unbelievers, the answer is yes. One lives in heaven, the other lives in hell. Forever and ever and ever and ever. There isn't a finality to it. It's a separation. So he's speaking that truth as we see right there, that you put off concerning your former thing, the old man which grows corrupt, according to deceitful lust that we see there. The believer's mind is to be renewed. It means to be made new, readjusted, changed, turned around, and regenerated. This is a continuous action and is only accomplished as the believer yields to the work of the Holy Spirit in his or her life. We are born again today. How many are born again? New creations. We are made new in Christ Jesus. New creations. And he has given us the mind of Christ. And then the third action we see again, we are to put off in verse 22, the old man, and be renewed, number two, in the spirit of your mind. And then in closing, verse 24, that you put on the new man, which is created according to God, how? In true righteousness and, as you see, holiness. This is the man, new man, who fellowships with God, who is obedient to God's will, devoted to God's service. How is this possible? Only by the power of God. Amen? Only by the power of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it says this, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. When a person believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, really believes and entrusts his or her life into the hands of Jesus Christ, God creates the spirit of that person in righteousness and true holiness. Who are we today? We're people that have taken on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Who are we today? We are people that are made righteous, not only righteous, but we are made holy in Jesus Christ today. Is that powerful? God is awesome. He truly is awesome. Colossians chapter 3. Go there, please. The worship team will come up, please. But join with me in just the reading of Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. That's what we're to do. Where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. And he mentions just a few things here. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Why do we do that? Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Verse 7, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in him, but now, there it is again, verse 8, you yourselves are to put off all these things, and he lists those things. Do not lie, verse 9, and since you have put off the old man with its deeds, and then verse 10, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Isn't that wonderful? That's who we are today in Christ Jesus. We must understand the problem. That's what he did. So we can embrace the solution. And we can say, thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done for us. The more that we enter into the light, the more that we will understand how awful the darkness is. May we be people of the light, and may we study his word and truth.
Our journey will continue in our next broadcast. Thanks for joining us today. Journey Through the Word is a ministry of Horizon Indy in Indianapolis, Indiana. If you want more info, check us out at horizonindy.org or call 317-823-2349. Join us next time, and you'll hear the pages turn as we journey through the Word.
Today's programs are sponsored by Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis. This two-year, 24/7 discipleship process challenges students to allow God to take hold of their hearts through the daily, in-depth study of God's Word, servant leadership, local ministry, and international mission experience. You may contact Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis by calling 317-823-2349. Thanks to Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis for their support of Christian Radio.
CCBCI at CCBCI.org.